Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 53, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist for Friday, October 19th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I want something else. I'm not listening when you, Jay. O'Brien. O'Brien.
There you go.
Third Eye Blind. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Fuego takes from Miles of Gray. Jack pulls off the ill Segway. Nick and Anna Hosnier.
They check everything you say. And that's a passion fruit inspired AKA Trip Tonight.
One POC for sure. Where you at, my man? Always
hollering at us on Twitter. And yes, thank you for that AKA. I made it.
My AKA is from Mike Lewis at Dime Technique. Of course.
Don Technique.
Dime Technique.
Oh, Dime Technique.
Mm-hmm. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very funny stand-up comedian, Julian McCullough.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
How are you? I have a great Stephen Jenkins story.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
He's the lead singer of Third Eye Blind.
Oh,
the
really?
Man you just butchered.
Yeah. Oh. Butchered?
He...
Out! I am a fantastic singer. What if I didn't know I was a bad singer?
Yeah, what if this is the first you've ever heard of it?
What if?
You just started crying really slow.
What the fuck is that guy talking about, Miles?
I was in Times Square, 12 years ago or something, and I was leaving MTV because I was shooting some dumb Talking Heads, you know, We Love the 80s thing. Mm-hmm. And I walk out, and 20 feet in front of me in a crowded Times Square I saw Stephen Jenkins walking towards me, and I was already upset that I recognized Stephen Jenkins.
right.
And he had a model under his arm, and this was way after they were, big. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Right.
Because you said this was a few years ago, so that
was 12
already...
years ago, but they were big, 20 years ago.
Right.
We're talking model plane, model boat? What are we...
It was a model of hair. It was M-O-T-T-L-E.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
But anyway, he was walking, and I was like, oh my God, that's Stephen Jenkins. And then a car horn honked in the middle of Times Square in the middle of the day. So it's like everyone in the world is in this intersection.
Yeah.
A car horn honked, and Stephen Jenkins looked over at it and nodded his head like, yep,
it
is
That was for me.
Damn, yep. The world revolves around this man.
God.
I mean,
all
you
these people showing up in Times Square just to because they heard I was Damn. Here.
He's
I
like, mean, here we go again.
All right.
Do, 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 do. He pulled out a
that guitar.
Yeah.
He just picked up his model and started strumming her.
It's funny. I just saw Third Eye Blind this weekend in concert with like the most 90s show ever. Yeah, it was for Jack FM.
I heard it. Of course it was. I heard that it was it's uneven. The bands from back then, like some of them are sound great and some of them are like,
yeah, this one was pretty good. So it was Everclear, Stone Temple Pilots, Third Eye Blind, and 311.
Wow.
And they all actually sounded pretty good. Everclear was actually pretty spot on for
Alex,
like how long it's been.
Something Nackis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the guy who hates his fucking dad.
Yeah, he loves boots though.
Yeah, loves them. But when Stephen Jenkins came on, he talked so much. And now that you say that, like your story makes sense because he was like, we're recording a little album in Silver Lake, so if you guys see me in a coffee shop, please say hello.
Oh, my God.
And being like, maybe I'll be here. I don't know, but I don't bite. And it was like this whole, like an old person in an old folks home begging their family to visit them. Like, come visit me.
Third Eye Thirsty.
Yeah,
Jesus
First
Christ.
Eye Blind.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Julian.
I feel like you just got everything you needed.
That's it? Yeah. That's all you have?
All right.
That one memory?
I'm an asshole.
But first, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about today. First of all, the goal of the show is we're trying to tell you guys what the nation is thinking and talking about today. We take a dive into America's and sometimes the rest of the world's shared conscious and unconscious using the headlines, the box office reports, what's trending on Google and social media. And today we are going to start out with some amazing breaking news about Ted Cruz. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about how Facebook fucked us. They fucked us, Julian.
So language is okay on
this
trip.
Language is okay. We are going to talk about how the GOP is gearing up for the midterms.
Racism.
Oh, wow.
What?
Sorry.
Who knew? And also, we're going to talk about how they're treating black singers in Georgia.
Is it great?
Yes, very well.
No, it depends on who you're voting for.
Miles's cough could have applied to either of those stories. We're going to talk about how the mainstream media showed their liberal agenda once again by totally making Elizabeth Warren look ridiculous and taking Trump's side on that story and just getting a bunch of the facts wrong about that. We're going to talk about the upcoming resource wars. We love teasing our upcoming wars, and we're going to talk about the wars over water that are going to be occurring in the next 100 years. That
are Chinatown, baby.
Yeah. That's right. We're going to do a brief Khashoggi watch. We're going to talk about how Cardi B might be playing Fran Drescher's daughter in the Nanny reboot, how Real World is also getting rebooted, and we're going to look at one of the saddest professions, the one that, I don't know, I thought I wanted to be when I was a kid, but apparently not. Apparently it's not as fun being a veterinarian as we all assumed. But first, Julian, we like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Apparently there was a limited edition Golden Girls cereal in various Targets around the country, and they're only doing one line of it. And there's a little toy of each Golden Girl in the box. And it's $7.99, and they're flying off shelves, and they're selling on eBay already. And I really was trying to find out where I could go get one.
How's the fiber content in there? Because
that's a really good question. I don't think the cereal is intended for the actual Golden Girls. I don't think you understand the cereal.
Sorry. I thought it was just a cereal made specifically for the Golden Girls.
Apparently, it's Blue Loops. I don't know how they ended up on that.
Oh, weird.
Blue. For hair? No, that doesn't.
For the blue hairs?
For the blue hair, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's funny.
Isn't that what you call like retirees, blue hairs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it'd be funny if they put like prescription pills in there as marshmallows.
Right.
Like blood pressure medication, anti-anxiety.
But I love the Golden Girls. I'm obsessed, and I watch it when I feel sad, and then it makes me feel better.
Yeah, really good writing on Golden Girls.
Yeah, excellent. And it'd be great to wake up in the morning and eat pure
sugar. Yeah,
is it a sugary cereal?
And be like,
cereal?
Why aren't I feeling better? It's a multigrain, you know, a little bit cereal woke, and they made like a multigrain low sugar thing. But
I guess there aren't that.
I'm not gonna eat it.
I guess there aren't that many blue foods that aren't like completely sugar-based, right?
It comes from the blue wheat,
right?
Which
is
totally natural.
Mm-hmm.
And
like Boise State,
right?
Like that's why their field is blue.
Yeah, they play
for the
on
football
blue
team
wheat.
Because of the blue wheat.
Kentucky
that's
bluegrass.
Exactly what
there
I was talking
is.
About.
Figured it out. Just solved the matrix.
Kentucky bluegrass.
Is
not
this
blue.
Why? Is this why it's fun to have friends? Because then people back you up and shit.
Exactly.
We're all wrong.
Wow,
that's all we do. It's an echo chamber.
Yeah.
Wait, how much are they going for on eBay?
I made it sound like it was like a phenomenon. $30.
That's, oh, wow.
But that's still three times. That's like a three, at least
yeah,
a three times.
And it just came out. Three so it's already, yeah. yeah. So I'm going to Burbank after this.
Yeah,
I'm going to try and get lucky.
Go to the Empire Center?
Yeah, it won't be the first time I try to get lucky in Burbank. I'll tell you
hey,
that.
Hey, come on. This guy.
Or me at Target.
Does Target do that? Does Target just like make cool cereals every once in a while?
I have never heard of anything like this before.
Yeah. Yeah. Right,
which Target. Just adds to the excitement, guys.
Yeah. yeah.
when That's you're fun. Just like hoarding all the boxes.
Yeah. Like, oh, are you kidding me? If I find a full aisle, like I don't care how much there are, I'm going
to
buy
How
them
much
all.
Are you willing to spend, if you don't mind me asking?
In, like if,
if
I
you
can
see
get
a full shelf.
The whole shelf.
You'll okay.
There's no way. Golden Girls merchandise is a lot like New York real estate. You'll never lose money.
Yeah, that's
wow,
true.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
You know who said that?
Yeah.
Me right now.
You.
I just
put it in, put it in bronze.
Yeah.
Julian, what is something you think is overrated?
I'm going to go with A Star is Born. I haven't seen it, but I'm assuming it's overrated.
Okay. Well,
it's also my underrated.
Okay. There you go.
Well, it's true. There is so much hype around it. A lot of people, it's all people can talk about.
Yeah. I think that I'm just irritated. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that counts as overrated, but I'm irritated that I've just heard way too much now. And I already have that thing where I'm like, well, now I don't want to see it. But it's something I would have wanted to see.
Right, right, right.
You know? But I loved Crazy Heart, the Jeff Bridges country singer that's not doing great one. Mm-hmm. And this feels like that movie made for everybody. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Because
yeah,
Crazy
yeah,
Heart's
totally.
For like diehard alcoholics.
Yeah.
yeah.
This movie's for like kids that want to believe in Lady Gaga again or something.
Right. Yeah. With you know? A little Crazy Heart thrown in
yeah,
on the borders. Yeah.
I had this, but it, I had an old woman shout the spoiler to me.
Oh, really?
In a room. Yeah. It
yeah.
was really funny.
Yeah. It also is probably not a super realistic depiction of alcoholism. I mean, there are some of the consequences of alcoholism, but also he's just like remains the best looking human being.
I was going to say, like is
a
handsomeness
shot of him
a
with
of
his
it?
Shirt off, and he's just like this ripped, shredded dude.
right.
But yeah.
Every alcoholic I know makes it to the gym twice a day.
Yeah, at least.
He also looks exactly like one of my best friends, Ryan Flynn from Philadelphia right now. So every time I see the poster, I'm like, Oh, it's just Bradley Cooper.
Damn, I thought he did it.
And what is something you think is underrated?
It's old. Mm-hmm. My underrated thing is old.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know how like everything is coming back and like nostalgia is everything.
The idea
yeah,
of
yeah.
old.
No. Oh.
You're like, my underrated is old.
I feel like being old is amazing.
Yeah.
Perfect Strangers is my underrated
oh,
thing
wow.
because Full House came back. You know, everybody still talks about Urkel sometimes. Sister is coming back. All these old shows from that time, TGIF and all that. And no one talks about Perfect Strangers. And I watched an episode of each one of these old shows from when I was a kid to see if they were absolutely terrible and unwatchable.
Yeah.
Full House is unwatchable.
Oh,
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you can't even get through 2 minutes. It's insane.
It's a sitcom for like brain dead kids.
It is. And
I
loved
it.
And I was like mortified when I watched it again. Because of just how much I loved it.
Right.
I also loved Guns N' Roses the same amount mm-hmm. at the time. So I'm like, well, that's not fair because they held up. But anyway, so Full House, I think, stinks. But Perfect Strangers, I watch, and it's still funny.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And no one remembers it or talks about it.
I mean, I would love to see Balky.
Maybe because it's like super kind of racist a little bit.
Yeah, Balky was a little interesting.
Yeah,
wasn't Balky on Perfect Strangers?
He mm-hmm. was. That
yeah,
was
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. He was from the mythical island of Meepos.
Right.
It's a Greek island that doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it does. Who knows? I mean.
And that's what the writers were counting on. Like, who gives a fuck? There's
but he no shows Google. Up to cousin Larry Appleton's front door with a goat, and it's like. Not supposed to be racist or something. But it was the late 80s, so
yeah,
there was no racism.
Racism
really.
Was like, yeah, was only if you wore a KKK hood.
Exactly. Like,
oh,
Mississippi Burning was
yeah,
like,
exactly.
yeah.
We're still okay with racism against Western European white people, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah,
I think
okay.
so.
Yeah. Like, I still think it's funny when people make fun of the Irish.
Let's list who it's okay to be racist against.
Okay, here we go.
And then we're going to learn about who's wrong right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Russian.
Oh, maybe, wow.
I don't know if that's a race.
It's a nationality. I think because right now we're like in an age where Russians are being vilified at every
yeah.
turn, it's like everyone's like, well, I think it's fair game right now.
Yeah.
To do bad Russian accents.
All right. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I would say all of Western Europe, the UK, Ireland, you know, the
I'm gonna go,
France,
I'm
Germany.
I'm going to go Italy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Italians, I think, are particularly funny to make fun of. and yeah.
What are you?
Irish.
Irish, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with biracial people.
You think it's okay?
I think that's, yeah, as a biracial person, I'm just going to sign off on
what's
that.
Wow.
So we can bring half-breed back.
Yeah,
we can bring
half-breed, mudblood, all this. Somebody
said
that to me once.
I never heard mudblood
before.
That's
from Harry Potter.
Right.
And someone was like, oh, so you're like a mudblood? I was like, yo, fall the fuck back.
That sounds so offensive.
I feel like the only stereotype I know about interracial people is that they are all like really good-looking.
Yeah, well, that's right, you know. So
no, but that's, like, yeah.
Well, that's, you know, I'm Greek and Irish, so, you know, that counts, right?
The two best. You got the two best right there.
They have the cutest babies, the Greek and Irish.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
Red Bull is bad for you.
People think it's good for you?
No, people think it's bad for you.
Okay.
And it's a myth. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yes.
Okay.
I've
compared to what?
You're clutching your Red Bull right now.
I finished it. But it's
burned a hole and came out your stomach.
Yeah,
when you took
but
a gulp
it's
of it.
Fine.
Look at my energy, though. The wings are about to fucking shoot out of my back.
I've been drinking it forever and a lot of it, and nothing's wrong with me.
Ass.
And I'm fine. So I don't. That's my evidence. I'm like the person with global warming that's like, but it's cold out.
Just only whatever's immediately in front of you.
Yeah.
Wait. Well, what were people saying? Like when people were like, "Hey,"
I feel
dude.
Like people think Red Bull. The joke is that it's like just full of poison, and they're not really sure what it's going to do to you and all that. I do sugar free, which makes it even more cancer.
Yeah, but it also makes it less bad. I think I've gone through periods where I drink multiple Red Bulls a day, and I feel like I was able to sustain longer without feeling like I was dying when it was the sugar-free stuff.
Yeah, sugar is literally the worst
thing
that your body
you.
Can... I'd never forget this. You ever hear somebody say a phrase to you, and then it just like sticks in your head for the rest of your life, and it ruins your life? I put sugar in my coffee one time in a writer's room, and this other guy goes, you know, that's like putting detergent in your coffee. Like in
what?
Terms of how like bad it was for me.
Cool.
And I never forgot that. And I
fuck that guy.
I know, really.
And you've been ruined from
I
sugar.
I hope he died of sugar.
Yeah.
Got the sugar foot.
Died of sugar.
All right. Well, we're gonna get into some things that are actually true. Red Bull's not good for you guys. Watch out.
Is there science on Red Bull?
No, I actually don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't think it's been around long enough.
Yeah.
We're gonna find out what happens to me later.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Miles, after you've had a Red Bull or two?
I fall asleep.
Yeah,
really?
It doesn't do that.
I'm not really caffeine sensitive. So like that's why I'm downing bulletproof cold brew that like needs to be like cut with water so you don't have a heart attack.
Yeah.
And I'm still like, you know, half asleep.
I cut that with cocaine to bring the edge down.
Yeah, it just my jaw starts going and it hurts really bad at the end of the day and I grind my teeth too much. But I remember when I used to like work raves and shit. They would end at 4 in the morning, and they'd be in, like, San Bernardino, and I'd have to drive back to L.A., and, like, I would be half dead. And I remember I would just steal three tall boys
tall
or red
ones,
boys,
yeah.
And I could drink two back-to-back, and I'd be nodding off, like, in my car.
Oh, that's
driving.
Crazy.
Yeah, so I've
but
never been...
But it's not
been...
just caffeine in here. It's, like, some taurine,
which
no one knows what
which
that
I
is.
Which I don't... Yeah.
I think it's bull semen.
Taurine gives you, like, a weird heart... I don't know. It makes my heart feel weird.
I know. That's what I love about it.
Yeah.
Weak-ass heart. Getting them heart palpitations for
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Am I gonna die?
Am I gonna die?
Feels like my heart's in my neck.
I guess you could call panic energy.
Yeah, that's what it gives me that like weird like something bad's about to happen.
Just
feeling.
Have to recontextualize it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Red Bull gives you that something bad's about to happen feeling.
You know that part
instead
of
wings.
That
also
part of
wings.
That Billy Joel song where it's like heart attack, ack. That's just what your heart's doing the whole time you're drinking. It's just going,
just get it to go. There we go.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We have a huge bomb that was dropped yesterday about your boy Ted Cruz.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we always thought he was an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mayonnaise with a face, if you will.
Right.
And there was a profile in The Atlantic about Ted Cruz's wife. Heidi Cruz, also known as the dog, if you're from Trump world,
right.
Where Ted Cruz will do nothing. But there was a really interesting profile of her where we learned a lot. A couple interesting things. First, one of them was about how when she left her job at Goldman Sachs to go on the campaign trail with Ted Cruz on his presidential run, their 7-year-old daughter at the time was like, why are you doing that? You have a job. And she's like, well, I'm doing it for the good of the country. And she's like, huh. And she's like, what happens if dad wins? She's like, I'll be first lady. And she's like, so does the first lady have a salary? And she's like, no, but I'm the first lady. And the daughter's like, this sounds like a bad deal for you, Mom. And you're like, whoa, look at their seven-year-old daughter already. Wow. Like, yo, Mom, this is not the wave for you.
Right. And also, she spent a lot of time around both her mom and Ted Cruz. And she's like, why are you fucking your life up for that
Well, the
guy?
Other thing was that, like, he's not really home a lot. So she's sort of like a single mother.
Oh, yeah.
You also gleaned from this profile. Yeah. But the real interesting thing came from when she's talking about their wedding and how Ted insisted upon a very specific song be played at the wedding. So this is an excerpt from this profile. It says, which is how Heidi found herself planning a May wedding to a man who, for all his pretension, insisted they play A Whole New World, the popular Disney song, at the end of the wedding ceremony. She didn't understand. They had a band. She told him, a violinist, no less. Why on earth would they play a CD? His response, because no one can do Aladdin. So she relented, and it became a theme of sorts. Or that's how she remembers it anyway, on a magic carpet ride.
Right.
So this man was he put
what
his foot
a monster.
Down. I have to have A Whole New World at this wedding.
We have to stop the band to play my CD of A Whole New World from the Aladdin soundtrack.
Heidi, because no one can do Aladdin.
Right.
Like, what?
And then he just went out and danced by himself.
Peebo Bryson would have been like, this is a bad idea.
Right.
Right. I mean, also, you have a band. I guess he's also never heard of sheet music or anything.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
You could, a band would probably, even if you put the music in front, they could play that for you. But he probably wanted the album version where it's like, don't you dare close your eyes. Because, like, look at me when I kiss. Don't you dare close your eyes.
God, I wish it would skip.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
He has a meltdown.
A whole new.
I wonder if this was all, like, he had a routine and, like, a lip-syncing thing, like, all choreographed out, and then, like, just didn't have the guts to, like, actually do it in front of everyone.
Yeah, like, what you see is he's looking into the ballroom where the reception is, and he's wearing full-on Aladdin outfit,
right.
And he's just checking the temp, and he's like, and he takes the hat off, he's like, forget it, he just goes back out. He's like, I'm ruined.
And she was like, what happened? He's like, you don't look like Jasmine.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's the problem.
This magic carpet doesn't fucking fly, Heidi!
All right, let's talk about how Facebook fucked us. One of the many ways.
Well, fucked, I think more. I think this resonates with you and I because we worked in digital media. I doing video and was part of the wave that fucked people like your website.
Crap. Yes. Yeah. So
wait,
I was running a website.
So, yeah, Facebook. Anyway, Jack, you can talk about how Facebook.
I was running a website that was mainly people came to for our written articles. And then we also had a very talented video team that Her Majesty and Daniel O'Brien were in charge of. But Facebook just cracked in the sense that they started tamping down traffic to anyone who wasn't paying. But in the broader sense, they started fucking news. They stopped sending traffic to written articles because they wanted to basically be the future of all media. So they wanted people to watch videos on Facebook, essentially. And they were like, just give us your videos and we'll pay you part of the ad revenue, and this is the future. And they also,
instead of the link being a click through to the
right, exactly.
And it was amazing how many views your videos would get on Facebook.
It was ungodly.
Right.
So I used to produce and direct videos for like magazines and other things, and we would always upload one to like the Facebook page for a given brand, and then for the YouTube channel. And you'd always look at the numbers and like people higher up would be like, wow, it's doing really good on Facebook. And everyone in video would roll their eyes because they'd be like, that's Facebook though. And the reason we would say that is because the way they were counting views was so whack. Like, you know, if you use Facebook, you know, as you scroll through the timeline, videos will just autoplay.
Right.
And if while you're scrolling, the video even played for like 3 seconds as you were not even watching it, just played, they'd be like, oh, that's a view.
Interaction. Right.
Yeah, or they would have some other weird metrics to like divide numbers to then extrapolate some kind of viewer count.
Yeah.
And it was all intended to attract advertisers and brands to be like, look at the fucking engagement we're getting on here. Look at the views. And now put your money into us. And also video's the future. And that sort of shifted everyone towards video.
Yeah.
And like their bloated video teams that were really unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And then that came to the detriment of journalists,
people
who actually wrote shit.
There was a huge change where news organizations basically fired like 50% of their editorial team and said, we're pivoting to video. You might have heard that phrase a lot if you pay attention to the media. And then they like built out these big video teams based on the idea that this is where everything was going. And, you know, Facebook was a different experience that people were, you know, spending all their time on Facebook, and they don't owe it to us to send people to our content. You know, they can do whatever they want with those users. But there was this sort of disingenuous thing where they wouldn't admit to the fact that they were only sending people to people who paid them, basically.
Yeah.
And it was just this completely opaque thing where, I don't know. It really...
Well, now, like, a lot of those advertisers are pissed and they're suing Facebook because they're like, you totally misrepresented your product and we overpaid on all this shit and you didn't do anything. And for, like, on average, they
would say... Well, that's good. They're getting some kickback on that.
Yeah. At first, they're saying, like, oh, yeah, Facebook at first was like, I think we overestimated by 60 to 80%. And then when they really looked into it, it was more like 150 to 900%.
Yeah.
Is how much they were cooking those numbers.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was just another way that Mark Zuckerberg suckered the media world.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting to see that because it was always something that people who did digital video would always like laugh about Facebook things. And be like, no, look at what the YouTube views are.
Yeah.
That's a more realistic idea of like how big a video is. And lo and behold, like these people caught on and were like, yo, bruh. You fucked me, Mark.
You fucked me, Mark.
I want to put him in front of the Senate so he can be like, but I went to Yale.
Yeah.
Like,
Harvard.
Harvard, whatever. Right.
Excuse me. Whatever. That's Brett Kavanaugh.
I believe we tried that. And
Yeah, he did just do that, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it was, yeah.
And
I remember the memes, but I don't
remember
any of the actual content.
More of an illustration of how old the Senate is than how evil Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, did any of them ask him if he could fix their modem? Yeah.
No, nearly.
Very close. Yeah.
The questions were amazing. Like, how do you log in?
Right.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
What's my password?
Yeah. Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. The GOP, the grand old party is what that stands for, the Republicans, seem to be, I guess you can't say they're shifting focus, but they're definitely sharpening their focus when it comes to how they are, you know, portraying these midterms their opponents.
If the midterms are like a Fast and Furious drag race, they basically hit the Nas tanks of racism to try and get to the fucking finish line right now because it's fucking wild.
See,
right now.
See, now this is content I can relate to.
Yes, here we go. Yeah, from my Fast and Furious people out there, don't blow your fucking canisters so quick. But yeah, the rhetoric is just, I mean, we always saw since Trump, it's always been pretty racist and xenophobic, but now like it's hitting every mark. So there are ads even coming out now with George Soros looking like some, like it's the most anti-Semitic shit where he's like some master of puppets and he's like behind Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, or like just people who want health care and stuff and he's like just throwing money at shit, which is a very odd thing. He's forever will be the GOP's boogeyman, I guess.
Yeah.
And then like Matt Gaetz, who's a congressman in Florida, I mean, he's also getting on this. He like tweeted some video of like these people in Honduras who were receiving like small amounts of cash. But he was saying, like, is this George Soros giving immigrants money to charge the border? And it's like, yeah, because they...
No.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it's like, the answer is no.
Yeah.
Because, yes, all these people are just want a couple bucks before they endure the grueling journey on foot to go to the border to better their lives. But there's no reason he would do that. Or maybe it's because the Hurricane Michael response in his district has been laughable. You know, like, everyone, you're starting to see, like, to me, it seems like... They're starting to get real about what these midterms are looking like, and they're like, okay, should we just pull out all the fucking stops now? Like, just do whatever at this point because our backs are against the wall. And that's what it reeks of because it's getting more, like, even aggressive. There was someone who was up for, like, I forget what kind of county board position in North Carolina. He, like, suggested that, like, if you vote for Democrats, they want to make pedophilia legal.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, it's standard shit.
I'm just saying we need to relook at.
Yeah, let's just make sure we're all on the same page here about what it is.
Just checking in.
Yeah, right. That's all we're saying. Yeah, and then on Thursday morning, Trump got on Twitter and was going full race war on his old phone and just putting out this thing of, I'll just read the tweet. I am watching the Democratic Party led, and then in parentheses, because they want open borders and existing weak laws, assault on our country by Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, whose leaders are doing little to stop the large flow of people, including many criminals, from entering Mexico to the U.S. And just sort of going on this idea that, like, essentially Democrats are leading immigrants by the hand to the border, which he had to explain because the logic of it is wild. And then going on to say, like, if they don't do anything about it, then he might have to send the military to shut down the southern border and he'll blow up any trade deals we have with Mexico. And again, this is, I think, just to drum up some kind of, you know, xenophobic fear of like, whoa, look at they're coming for the borders. And Fox was so willing to just, you know, go full tilt on this
they're
messaging.
Like, sounds like there's a problem.
Yeah. They're like, all right, what's the play? Okay, yeah. Democrats are leading a Gint mob to the border. That's immigrant mob from Mo from The Simpsons. Anyway, these are two Fox News clips where you're seeing them really underscore this point that the Democrats are actually the ones who are behind, I guess, migration. I don't know.
This caravan issue lays at the feet of the Democratic Party up on the Hill. Like I said, they've been educated what these loopholes are, but they don't want to close the loopholes. They want this president to have a fail on this issue. But I hope the American people are paying attention because this isn't the president's failure. This isn't the secretary's failure. This is the Democrats' failure because they know the issue and they refuse to fix it. They're putting their political ambitions ahead of public safety, national security, and border control. Simple as that.
Why would it be the Democrats' fault when they have
no
the
power?
Republicans have all the power.
They have
the government?
Zero. That's insane.
And he doesn't even, he can't even say failure, right?
Yeah.
That's Thomas Homan, who was the head of ICE.
Got it.
Who is, you know, America's number one racist. And then there's another one, again, had to come in and underline this fact, this time from a pundit with a Hispanic last name. So maybe that will give some credence to this mm-hmm, point. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. We're going to continue to see these caravans of people because we have politicians like Nancy Pelosi who encourage them to keep making this trek.
Uh-huh. So Nancy Pelosi is encouraging people because they're saying, I don't know, we just want what's fair for people. Or the fact that they oppose a law that just like brutally separates families and like gives them this really awful like option to like, you guys can go to jail together or you can split your kids up and then maybe you can get your kid back. I don't know. What do you want? What do you want to do?
This is similar to a story that was happening maybe a couple months ago where they were talking about a, quote, caravan of people who are making their way to the United States border.
Right.
And then that just totally fizzled out. And then now they're just doing it again every time. It's like it reminds me of like in the 80s, there was always stories about like these waves of killer bees that were coming towards the Mexico border that were going to invade the United States.
Yeah.
Like it's just whenever there's a slow news day or whenever they need to get their, you know.
Remember they were African killer bees for
right.
a while?
Yeah.
And then that inspired Wu-Tang to bring out that killer bees
on a swarm. Mm-hmm.
It does remind me because the Democrats have no power. So it's so funny for them to be like, these damn Democrats. So I was going to say, it's like you just robbed a store or a bank. And your dog is chained to a tree outside. And you're like, I think the dog took all the money out of that place.
Right. Pretty sure. You should probably look at him. I don't know. This is my money actually from before, from a different robbery. Yeah. And I think, again, like you're saying, Jack, like they're running out of rhetorical points to actually convince someone to vote Republican that they're not just being like, all right, let's just go after like the full-on racist base and just try and turn them out as much as possible. Because there's nothing really convincing about this unless you are – like you respond to this fear-mongering shit. And it's just like that old barbarians at the gate argument that has been used for centuries now. It's like the oldest shit in the book.
And can I just say, there are plenty of monstrous people in this world, but Mexicans aren't one of them. They are wonderful people.
The people like Tom Homan, who looks like a guy who would scam you outside of a carnival to change your tire.
Right.
It's like, that's who we need to avoid.
I know.
But I saw you shoot my tire out.
No. That's a failure on the tire. You know, like, what the hell?
All these people complaining about this stuff, too, love a Mexican restaurant. I mean, they want to wear the hat. They want the happy birthday song. They want the whole thing.
Yeah. You know? Which is funny.
Even when it's not their birthday.
I know. Yeah. Well, I guarantee you Republicans are leading, and it's not actually my birthday, but I'm going to say it is, in a restaurant to get free whatever.
That's the mentality of a Republican
yes,
in general.
Absolutely.
Or they're like, hey, honey, I'm going to propose to you. Take your ring off. Take your fucking ring off. I'm going to propose to you. And we're going to get this fucking meal for free, right?
And then I'm going to sing, I Can Show You the World.
Also, you say I'm a vet. I'm an army vet, too.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, it's always them doing the false valor shit.
It's the lack of moral scruples would suggest that would be the restaurant tactic of some of these people.
The other strategy they're employing is just outright voter suppression.
Yeah.
So they're...
That one's way worse.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like it's effective.
Yeah. I read something even scarier recently or yesterday, which is that as they are getting closer to the midterms and they realize how bad their platform has been since Trump, like for regular people, they're actually starting to co-opt Democratic ideals and say that that's what they're going to do when they get in office just to get votes, because they can't go up there and be like, we're literally taking away all your health care and giving all these corporations money. So they're like, you know what? They're just trying to find ways to reword what the Democratic platform is so that they don't look like the monsters that they are, you know? And that's even scarier, because that's not fair. If you're going to be a monster, be a damn monster.
Exactly. You know? Just go full monsty.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Georgia is one of those states where that has like a Secretary of State running for office simultaneously while they're in office holding the position of like vote master of a state and then also running a campaign. And in Georgia, we've talked about this before, Brian Kemp, who's a Secretary of State, like I think last week we talked about the number of registrations that were just put on ice because of their exact match law, which disproportionately affects voters of color. And then earlier this week, there was a group of about 40 black senior citizens who got on a bus to take them to do early voting by like this group called Black Votes Matter. It's a nonpartisan group. They're not there to tell these people how to vote. They're just like, we'll give you a ride to the polls. You're at a senior center. It's probably like, we'll make it easy. But somehow that bus just got stopped and they pulled all the people off the bus. And like the reasoning was really, really whack. They were just sort of saying like, at first they thought that the senior center was like, they considered the activity political activity, even though there was no mention of a party.
So, what though?
But that would be a reason why they could interfere with it. Because like certain nonprofit groups, they can't actually put their flag in a party or either side. They can't be partisan.
So they'll just be like,
we're here to advocate just for voter participation. We'll never say vote Democrat or vote Republican. And so they were like, oh, this is probably what's going on. They're like, absolutely not. There's nothing to suggest that they were doing it. The only thing was that because a Democratic Party chairwoman helped to organize it, they were trying to use that fact to do it, although there was no evidence that anything untoward was happening at all. So they were like, hey, we got to get off the bus. Look, we can take you back to the center. We can get you to vote. And it was just a really transparent act of just voter intimidation. But like, luckily for these elderly people, sadly, this wasn't the first time someone has probably tried to stop them from voting. And they were very resolute. They're like, no, we'll be back. But this was bullshit. And it was very clear what the fuck
was. So they knew what was going on.
I mean, once they were like, what is this? What do you mean? Like, they're just taking us to vote. And because it's a bus that says, like, black voters matter, that you're going to be like, hold on, what's going on here? Because I think there's Stacey Abrams votes and not Brian Kemp votes.
This seems like just overall the sort of projection we've been talking about, where it's like they claim voter fraud. That is one of their issues. And then meanwhile, they're like, that just seems like the move for Republicans is yelling and pointing at the other side, accusing them of doing the thing that the Republicans are actually doing.
Because they're saying we can't win over voters of color with our racist rhetoric. So they're cheating by appealing to more people. Or something
it's really
what's going on.
It's like you get caught sleeping with your wife's sister and then in the middle of it, and she's like, I can't believe you're doing that. And you're like, you're sleeping with my brother right now. And she's like, you don't have a brother. And like, exactly. You always.
But you would.
Yeah, you would. Also, you're not very family oriented when you talk to me like
that. And then you blame it on the dog.
Yeah, 100%. And also, the dog robbed the bank. But it's just the one thing, though, that is great is that with these midterms, a lot of secretaries of states are on ballots. And that's one way to really curb voter suppression, because a lot of Republicans are holding these secretary of state seats. And that's another reason why everybody has to go and vote in these midterms. Don't just vote on the big ticket people. Really look at your ballot and understand if your secretary of state or whatever office is running the elections in your state are people who are regularly purging voter rolls or engaging in that kind of right-wing fuckery that is meant to disenfranchise people and exercising their constitutional right.
Wait, how is that keeping them from doing voter suppression?
Because you can vote now, we can vote in new secretaries of state. If you in a state, like for example, if Chris Kobach was still secretary of state and not running for governor, now would be a perfect time to boot someone like him the fuck out.
Because we need to get these caravans back in this country.
Exactly. Well, that's the other thing. They claim that there's like some shadowy billionaire behind the scenes paying people to like do the liberal agenda when it's like
the
are run by the Koch brothers.
It's Sheldon Adelson, who is the murky dude throwing money at everything.
They're the party of shadowy billionaires, and they have invented one whose name is way more recognizable.
I feel like an idiot. I still don't even know who George Soros is. I've heard his name a thousand billion times.
A wealthy currency speculator who became very wealthy and is a philanthropist, but they've used him being Jewish to like just start all kinds of shit in Eastern Europe. And he was giving a lot of money to like left wing causes. So they're like, oh, that's let's always use him as the boogeyman.
And then there's a recent report about just where resource wars are headed, where they're going to be fought.
It's the freakiest map. So, you know, last week there was that study where the UN's like, hey, we got maybe 2 decades to get this shit together, or welcome to Waterworld.
Or a dozen years.
And now there was another.
By the way, underrated.
Waterworld?
Yeah.
So let them know. We were just talking about that. You speak Portuguese? So the authors of this report is like a team of the European Commission's Joint Research Center. And they're just talking about how like the effects of climate change and like trends in population growth could trigger conflict in areas where water resources are like shared on borders or between different countries and things like that, and could lead to some tensions. And like when you look at this map, you're like, oh, wow, there are some real fucking hot spots where it could go off because of just over water. It seems like part of the northern Midwest of North America seems pretty bad. Parts of sub-Saharan Africa, the Middle East, Australia. I mean, it's just like a lot of when you sort of look at like, oh, wow, this is where the water will begin to dry up. Or like when you look at it like that, it's a little unnerving. But you know,
it's like the beginning of a zombie movie where you can see the red zones. Yeah.
Yeah. And like all this information is based off of like historical data and just sort of trends that have existed. So like it doesn't take into account shit that could go off in the future and things that could affect those. So in a way, this map could be like the more optimistic look at it. But I mean, hey, we always knew the resource wars were coming.
Northern Midwest, like the by the Great Lakes.
Yeah, like right here where it's orange, you guys can see the map.
Oh, that's a huge area. Yeah. It's like most of
It's basically all of Appalachia through Ohio, Minnesota, up through the Dakotas, and then down to like Louisiana and stuff like that. And they're basing it on, you know, whether there's going to be a scarcity of resources, but also whether there's going to be different populations of people or population density, like running into one another and fighting for those resources.
Is Silver Lake on there? Because Stephen Jenkins is so thirsty and he's going to have a really hard time.
Yo, I mean, British Columbia looks like the wave. So guys, please welcome me with open arms.
I know.
Yeah, but that Columbia,
I've known that for a long time. The Vancouver is, I don't know if you guys have been there.
Oh, yeah.
They have so many empty luxury condominiums that are bought by Chinese money. Yeah. And all, and they... Vancouver had to put a tax because they have these entire swaths of the city that are ghost towns of multi-million dollar
places. Right, who're just
places.
Parking their wealth on these buildings.
And they don't want to, they can't allow that to happen. They're like, you have to live here for a certain amount of time or we tax you. Like, it's like double the amount of the actual place. They're going after it because they can't, because it ruins the town. I mean, you can't have an empty city of like Prada stores.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And just you have a housing crisis where there's no affordable housing.
Exactly.
I'm like, what's all this shit?
But that's because they know, like, you know, it's like, if you don't believe climate change is real, follow the richest, most informed people in the world and see what they're doing, and they are buying shit up because they know it's coming.
Right.
You know?
Or, yeah, exactly. Or like when George Bush bought an aquifer or like property that had an aquifer under it, I was like, wow, that's the next wave, huh?
Yeah.
Water.
Right. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And another small sign of how things are going in the GOP right now, heading into the midterms. John Kelly and John Bolton got into a profane shouting match outside the Oval Office. This is just breaking when we're recording it. And it's not clear what it's about. They're just swearing at each other. Maybe it's just like, I'm the John around here or something. But
you could never grow a mustache like this.
Dodgers, maybe?
Right. But they got like highly public, highly profane, just shouting at each other outside of the Oval Office.
I mean, probably because John Bolton keeps whispering sweet war nothings into Trump's ear. And right. John Kelly's like, hey, motherfucker.
Do you know how dumb this dude is? Well, speaking of...
How dumb is he?
Speaking of those guys, just continuing to update the story on Khashoggi and the Saudi...
scandal.
Scandal, the involvement. Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, has pulled out of the... Davos in the desert, the Saudi like
business investment forum or whatever.
Right, yeah. That was supposed to be a big deal. And that is probably Mohammed bin Salman's biggest takeaway from this is fucking up my investment conference. But it was supposed to be all the richest people in the world hanging out together in Saudi Arabia. And it has completely fallen apart. And also the Washington Post dropped Khashoggi's last column and it is all about the problem that killed him, the lack of freedom of the press in the Middle East. And yeah, I don't know. That's if they didn't think they had created a martyr before, now that certainly doesn't look good for the Saudis.
Did we just reach like a breaking point? Because from what I remember, a lot of Palestinian journalists were getting just shot by snipers by the Israeli army. And right. It was always like, eh. You know, but I think that's the example that a lot of these other countries look at. They're like, well, look, they're booed up with the U.S. and they kill journalists.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
I also wonder if it's just the clue-like nature of this story and the fact that somebody went into a building and never came out. And
right,
it's almost like a fucking magic trick.
For lack of a better word, it's sexier.
Right. It's just intriguing, I think, to people.
That's a better word.
And then there's also the... brutality of it and the fact that he was dismembered while still alive.
Well, they're saying like Pompeo is now telling like he's apparently he got tough with MBS. What we don't know behind closed doors, even though he was smiling in the photos, saying like, hey, you being king, like the way you guys address this could have ramifications for you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we'll see if that's just rhetorical or not. But yeah, things just trickle out more and more. And right now, I think Trump, you know, he's just waiting for the Saudis to investigate themselves before making any decisions. So
there's a picture of the 15-man hug squad.
Hug squad.
As the Saudis are calling them.
No, tourist group.
Tourist group walking in the back gate of the consulate. And it literally looks like somebody's like holding open the gate being like, come on, come on, come on. You can actually like hear the Tarantino music playing in the background when you look at it.
They look like they know what they're like. I don't know. It doesn't look like guys who are tourists. It looks like hardened people who have a.
They're not wandering around looking up.
No, right. No. There's no one with like a neon hat and like a flag being like, okay, this way and this
some
is
the... Some guy fell off the stairs taking a selfie.
Right.
I mean, we still haven't gotten confirmation on the bone saw thing, but that's all we need. If they literally brought a bone saw and they're claiming that it was like an attempted anything but dismembering.
You got it wrong. In Arabic, bone saw actually translates to selfie stick.
Oh, got it.
That's what I had. The Turks at the border, they messed it up.
Can I ask a super dumb, uninformed question?
Yeah.
How do we even know any... Like, I feel like this is the kind of thing we shouldn't know any of the details about. How do we know about this group? How do we know there was a bone saw? How do we know any of this?
Because the Turkish government was on top of this shit.
Oh.
The second they flew in.
They realized that it... in addition to just having a lot of conflict with Saudi Arabia, they realize that this gives them leverage. They negotiate and have a lot of trade and a lot of conflict with the Saudis. And so, and apparently they had their whole consulate wired, because yesterday we talked about the fact that the New York Times confirmed the existence of the audio tape that apparently confirms what everybody said, which is that he was murdered and dismembered while alive within like 5 minutes of getting there.
Jesus. Yeah, and like the whole thing took 7 minutes or whatever to happen. Yeah. It's really fucked
and
up.
Just to reiterate, Trump compared our suspicion of the Saudis in this case to our suspicions of Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
And Kavanaugh was like, thanks, dude. Awesome.
Hey, toss him Bill Cosby, MBS,
right.
Kavanaugh, you know.
Yeah.
He's like,
that's what you get for fucking throwing your lot in with that dude.
Yeah. The Sesame Street game, like, which one of these things is not like the other? Yeah, Trump would be like, maybe 50% on that game.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah.
Like, he just like sees the worst similarities and differences that, and he's just like, this is like that thing.
Right. Hey, that's the last guy I had to lie about, right?
Yeah.
So, and there was a report yesterday on CNN that basically this whole idea that the Saudis are conducting an investigation is actually the Trump administration and, you know, MBS and MBS's people behind the scenes just trying out, they're in a writer's room trying to concoct a story that will make it so that, yes, he was dismembered, yes, you have us on tape, okay, fine, we cut him to pieces while he was still alive, you got us, but, you know, they're going to try and concoct a story where it wasn't because MBS had ordered his silence and
or
he
had known about it.
Had refused.
I'd love to see the whiteboard of the suggestions that got crossed out.
You know, or what that like, pitch meeting is like.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Yeah. Yeah. John, what do you got? Okay. You know.
Well, they said it couldn't be done.
Yeah.
No, that's not good enough.
And just to reiterate something we talked about yesterday, Khashoggi had told somebody that MBS ordered his silence after Khashoggi had spoken publicly critically of the Trump administration.
Right.
So Trump is tied to this in multiple ways in the sense that MBS was trying to support the Trump administration in his opposition to the guy he ultimately dismembered.
Yeah, well, you know, this in the end, it's just they just need time to figure out how they can preserve U.S.-Saudi relationships, like preserve the optics so people don't go, what the fuck are we still doing talking to these guys? That's the bottom line.
Why would they do that so horrifically? Is it to send a message to other journalists?
I'm sure on some level. Or they can be like, yo, or to other dissident Saudis, they can be like, we can touch you wherever you are.
And this is how bad it is.
Yeah, and this is how bad it is. And look at the U.S. didn't do shit.
Yeah.
And that's the message that's sort of generally around the world, which is why we talked about this last week. Like, Putin's just so down with sending, like, his square-faced assassin goon squads to poison people.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, the
Chinese
picking
up. See, it is okay to be racist
up
against Russians.
Yeah. Well, no, the videos of them, there was an interview with them on RT, like the Russian news network, and my God, it couldn't have looked like more obvious that these guys didn't know what the fuck was going on. They're like,
they said they were tourists in like Salisbury or something.
They're like, yes, the church is one of the oldest, and like they're wearing like near military garb, like they're like there's no life in their eyes, like these look like professional poisoners.
Yeah,
right.
Anyway,
you can poison somebody with like too much caffeine or too much nicotine, like just like injecting that into them. They keep using poisons that are specifically an exclusive. Yeah,
no,
we got an exclusive on that.
Putin.
That can specifically be traced back to them because, you know, they want to, like, send a message.
You poison them with borscht extract?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus. And they've threatened global economic chaos.
Yeah.
Fuck with us, watch us start slowing down oil production.
Right.
You think, how is $400 a barrel going to look for y'all?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think that's the card that they're sitting on, too. So, you know, start riding a bike or something.
At the same time, the U.S. has chosen that Saudi Arabia is the country where they do not depose leaders and like go in and start wars because they threaten to fuck with oil exports.
Right.
Whereas Iran, they've been doing that for decades. But yeah, I mean, that is the depressing thing, is that super producer Nick Stump was pointing out that this is probably something where they are too big, they are too important to the economy to fuck with, essentially. It's almost like after the financial crisis when you couldn't let the banks fail because then the whole economy would fail.
Right.
It's like if you fuck with Saudi Arabia and they just stop exporting oil, then the whole economy goes
and
to
that
shit.
Just has reverberations across the region. Like
right.
Just the whole it's a wild domino effect.
Yeah.
So
why anybody would want to be president is beyond me.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, you got to eat a lot of shit.
Yeah.
So, well, this goes back to my theory that we should just give out the presidency at random.
That's
a guy threatened to blow himself up in Washington, D.C. They had to arrest him because he was planning, like, had the stuff to blow himself up, and his political theory, like the thing he wanted the government changed to, like Drudge, we talked about it the other day, Drudge made it seem like he was a Democrat who was just mad at Trump, but he actually wanted to give power out at random. And super producer Nick Stumpf looked at that political ideology and said that it's been used like once or twice and sometimes it works out. Yeah, there's a guy who just wrote a book about it and he's doing TED Talks. Not the guy who threatened to blow himself
right.
up about it, though. That guy is just one of those people who saw a TED Talk and is way too into it.
Right.
Saw one TED Talk. I'm going to fucking
talks.
Blow
I'll
myself.
I'll show you. You only have to work 4 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. All right. I wanted to go out talking about just one of the sadder professions, apparently, So being a veterinarian is what every empathetic kid wants to do
yeah.
when they grow up. You want to take care of animals. And there's apparently, being a veterinarian, at least in America, is very difficult because you come into contact with a lot of owners who will put down a three-year-old dog because it has a broken leg. And they're like, okay, how much would it cost to fix it? Okay, how much would it cost to put him down? Okay, well, I'll go with putting him down because that's cheaper. And it's just fucked, man.
Yeah, well, they did a survey, and they found that they call it widespread moral distress among veterinarians. Because a lot of vets, right, like, when you go to a vet, you typically go to one vet unless you're moving around.
Yeah.
And so they see your pet from, like, the beginning till its whole lives. And mm-hmm. sometimes, if the pet needs more care, they really build relationships with it. And they've noticed, like, there are two versions, right? One is, like, what Jack's saying. It's like, well, I don't want a three-legged dog or pay for a broken leg to be fixed because mm-hmm. I don't have the money, so put it down. Or the other one is trying to, like, sustain the life when it's clearly much more humane to have
right.
the dog put to sleep. So they feel both extremes. And they were saying that 69% of the 800 vets that they were surveying had felt moderate to severe distress about not being able to give animals what they thought was the right care.
Yeah, mm. And it's like most medical professions, it has a high rate of suicide just because you have access and the knowledge of, you know, you have access to the medication and the knowledge of how much to take to kill yourself. And so it's bad. It's a tough
well, yeah.
position.
That's what they but, say. They're, yeah, they got to train vets like earlier on in their careers to know like this is what you're going to deal with. And also like they're also really stressing, hey, teach these people self-care even when you're training them to become veterinarians.
Right.
Because this is a massive part of the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I mean, think about how much more frequently animals and pets die than humans. It would be
yeah.
like being a doctor where your patients die like five times as often as
yeah, Jack Kevorkian.
Doctors. Yeah.
How about this? How about you're a vet, right? People come in, they go, my dog's leg is broken. And you go, okay. And they go, I want to put him down. And you go, all right. I'm going to kill myself if you put your dog down.
Oh my God.
And then they go, all right, Jesus,
wow,
I'll pay for the dog.
Seven
you
grand?
Know? Because
right.
if you're going to kill yourself anyway,
right.
use it
weaponize
as leverage.
It. Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Huh?
Welcome to Julian's Vet School. Can we go out on just some good news really quick?
Yeah. All right, let's do some good news.
Okay, I have to bring this up because we talk a lot about Cardi B because I love Cardi B, but apparently there's some real fucking movement going on because Fran Drescher, I think, told People magazine in an interview that she is in talks with Cardi B's reps to reboot The Nanny.
Yes.
In which Cardi B could possibly play Fran Drescher's daughter. And this all happened. They're like, oh, that's interesting. What happened? She's like, well, she has a funny voice like me. And then there was an IG post that Cardi did like earlier this year where she was wearing head-to-toe cheetah print like outfit.
Uh-huh.
And her caption was just Fran Drescher. And Fran Drescher saw that and was like, oh, maybe I'm like, they love me.
Yeah.
Maybe we can bring this back.
This story actually bums me out.
Why?
because like that because sort of activated
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Like Fran Drescher just like scanning the headlines looking for some relevance. Yeah.
Sure. Well, I'm sure it was like some younger family member was like, right. Cardi B talked about you, Aunt Fran.
Right.
Or I'm sure she has her own kids who are up on Cardi B.
Right.
But that would be a very interesting reboot. And it shows you, man, Cardi B is getting mainstreamed very quickly. And since you thought that was a bummer, let me add one
They're
more
like,
thing.
The problem is it has to be on HBO.
Yeah, right.
The which next, would be awesome.
Right. Well, the next reboot that's happening is Real World. Because Real World hasn't been on long enough. They're bringing it to Facebook Watch, as if Facebook didn't have enough shitty video. But yeah, I mean, because I think they're rebooting Daria and Aeon Flux, but they didn't say where it was going. And Real World also. And now we know it'll be Facebook Watch. But this ain't your grandpa's or our Real World.
Right.
This is some Gen Z social media shit. Because now, like, they're offering, like, interactive opportunities for viewers. Not only will fans get to vote on one person to join the house before the season begins, but they will also be able to connect with the cast via Facebook Live. And they'll do premieres, watch parties, additional social elements will be announced at a later date. So, yeah, hey, good luck with that. What was your favorite Real World season?
We're so old, Miles.
I know.
Oh, I'm old as shit.
You can't get me out of this depression that I feel now. No, my favorite Real World season was probably... I only watched like a handful. I think it was probably the one with Puck and Pedro.
Me
like,
too. I'm a basic bitch. That's the one I remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, San Francisco.
He ate peanut butter with his fingers.
He did.
Yeah.
And I remember when he was on Puck was on Cribs, he picked up dog shit with his bare hand. I remember he's like, welcome to my house. And there's like a dog shit and goes, barehand it, and just threw it. And I was like, you are a fucking loser. My favorite was Miami.
Miami.
I don't know why.
That was a good one.
Because there was some wild people on that cast, too. And Hawaii, too.
Will Smith was
I
in
liked
that,
Hawaii,
wasn't
too.
Miami. Yeah, welcome to Miami.
I liked Hawaii, too. That there was, yeah.
Yo, I
that
see.
That very troubled young woman.
Ruthie.
Ruthie.
Yo 12
Ruthie
years
around
ago.
Still?
12, well, first of all, I used to see Ruthie out all the time around 2006 to 2008. Also, I used to smoke weed with Tech. Who was also in
oh,
that
yeah,
cast.
I remember Tech.
Oh,
Tech,
yeah, Tech was
yo,
dope.
He lived right around the corner from me, and suddenly we smoked like three blunts.
I went to Rutgers with Ruthie.
Did you?
Yeah, and I used to perform at the comedy club in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and she would be in the crowd all the time.
Yeah, she. And then I think once the Real World happened, she was just a mainstay out here. I also see Adam from that cast, too, who I think whose dad was in the Commodores or something like that. I see him at the bowling alley sometimes.
It's too stressful. So I'm part of the show? If I want to watch the show, I'm part of the show? I don't want to do that. I just want to watch a show.
What do you
it's
mean?
It's got to be interactive.
All this interactive stuff. It's like too much. It's like homework.
That's what the kids want. It's
do they?
Man. Yeah, well, that's
the thing. I was never watching Mad Men and be like, I choose what Don does.
Yeah, right, exactly. Hey, it's not like a second screen experience exactly to watch like sort of emotionally unstable youngsters just get drunk and cry and fight.
Sounds like hell on earth to me.
Yeah. It's one
but
I'm
step. Old.
Yeah, one step to them doing like death matches basically for right. kids to vote. Which one's going to fight today?
Julian, it's been a lot of fun having you, man. Where
Thank
can people
you.
Find you, follow you?
I'm at Jules Mac on Twitter, JULEZMAC. I'm at Julian McCullough on Instagram. And I don't use Facebook because I don't get it anymore. I don't understand. It's too depressing.
We're too old.
Well, now you have to get back into it because they have the Real World on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's it. And I'm on tour all the time. So go check my JulianMcCullough.com.
And where?
Oh, and The Soft Spot is my podcast, and it's great.
There you go.
We just had Ross Marquand from Walking Dead, and he was amazing.
Yeah.
Ross Marquand.
Yeah.
Where can
he is Jamaican.
Yes. Marquand.
Isn't he the impression dude?
Yeah. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Ugh.
He's next level.
I gave him my idea for the he should be in a show called The Walking Dead, where it's just Christopher Walken as a zombie. And he just goes, Brines.
Yeah. It's just him and Kevin Pollak.
Yeah.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Okay, my favorite tweet from recent times is at Trumpet Cake. His name is Ted Travelstead. He's a comedy writer. He's very funny. He says, always carry a potato wrapped in foil to a party. It's a conversation starter. Ever seen a lion's egg? A conversation avoider. Excuse me, hot, 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 hot. A conversation ender. Just got this cyst removed. Feel how heavy. Always carry a potato wrapped in foil to a party.
Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, man. It's probably a lipoma. you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like is from my sister from another mister, Barbara Gray, at Babs Gray. And she said, I'm horny and lonely. I'm hornly the newest member of Sesame Street.
Poor Luke.
I love Babs Gray.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. There's a tweet about, so the New York Post tweeted, rapping Dem raised $3.8 million for campaign against Republican, with a picture of the Democrat. And Matt Mittenthal tweeted, this is a story about a Rhodes Scholar with a Harvard Law degree running for Congress in upstate New York. but the New York Post refers to him as Rapping Dem because he once rapped.
And that's a way to make him seem less qualified, part of the racist push. Yeah, and the dude is, Oxford educated and a motherfucking Harvard Law School graduate. Okay.
Yeah. And then this band fucks, at this band fucks, tweeted, honestly, R.E.M. fucks. And I grew up a big R.E.M. fan, so
That's the frequency, Ken.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that information in the show notes. And Miles, what song are we going to write out?
Okay, so we're going to play a little remix from this artist, Jordan Raquet. And I might be mispronouncing that, but it's a remix by Tom Misch. And it's a very nice little R&B track, but it's done with really nice minimal production, really good dress drum patterns. I love the beat. I love the remix. I love the vibration. It's the weekend. Get into some midnight mischief. But not like any illegal shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just questionable. Just that's the limit. Questionable, but not illegal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back on Monday. We'll talk to you then. Be safe. Have a good weekend, guys. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.